This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You can take control of the airwaves with the toll-free number. That's 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. It is the Tuesday edition as we kick off hour number one. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And as always, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site is totally free. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. I'm going to jump into the email box to start things out with here tonight. This one came in from Corey, and after spending the first paragraph talking about how he likes the show because we don't always agree and we're passionate about what we say and he doesn't always agree with us, etc., we'll get into the meat of the email. He says, "Let me just say, to be clear, the main reason why I don't believe, among others, that a completely free market could exist without any government at all, of which there is no way you could completely understand. I'm a biracial male, but for all intents and purposes, I am black, or African-American to the world. Very few people guess that I'm mixed right away. The problem with the free market, as I see it, is back when America was in its infancy, when they had a small, less intrusive government, as you guys put it, the free market that existed then was just as you wish it was, or should be now, completely free. But what arose was a market that was not free to everyone. Black people were not allowed to own anything. Black people were not allowed to work and get compensated for their labor."
That's not true, and that's not a fair assessment.
Well, what part's not true?
Well, the part that that the government wasn't intruding, I mean, in that area. Black people weren't allowed to work and weren't allowed to be compensated for their labor because the government instituted, had, made it legal for slavery to exist. They didn't. The government failed to protect the rights of those people, the black people that were enslaved.
That's true. In fact, as it turns out, and I'm going to pull some from a source that's not two white guys in a studio, it turns out actually the slave trade itself was a product of government. I'm going to get into that in a moment here. He says black people were not allowed to own anything, they weren't allowed to work, and they weren't allowed to get the same services as a white person even if they were free. This wasn't a direct result of government action, although laws did later help facilitate it. But it was a societal hatred of someone for the color of their skin, and a free market correction of high prices, cheap labor, even if it meant by force, which is what they're doing to the Mexicans now.
Well, the Mexicans aren't enslaved. Like, that's not what's happening there. The Mexicans don't have to come to America. They don't have to do what it takes to sneak across the border and to avoid our ICE agents. They are not enslaved in any way.
The coyotes aren't hog-tying them and throwing them into the back of a truck.
Absolutely not. They're choosing to come over here. They're choosing to work for less than Americans do, but still for more than they would work for in Mexico. So by their standards, they're being compensated very well. I mean, they may not be living at the standard you are or the standard that America would expect them, somebody to be living at, but they're living at the standard that is good for them.
So when I was reading this, I thought to myself, okay, well, we're two white dudes in a studio, and whatever
you listen to us.
Right, whatever we say about slavery is just whatever, right? So that's why I figured I'd go and find something from an officially black source.
Okay.
So I went to LouRockwell.com.
I thought you called my friend Julian.
No, this is Robert Wicks. He's a Unix administrator in Atlanta, writing for LouRockwell.com, and he's a black man.
Yeah, I saw the picture. There's no doubt.
As he puts it, the slave trade was a product of government. Most of us are aware of the various European governments, notably the Portuguese and British, who transported millions of Americans, causing the deaths of many of them transported millions of Africans, causing the deaths of many along the way to the eventual enslavement in the Western Hemisphere. But many of us ignore the other governments that were involved. African kings and Muslim rulers also played a heavy part in the slave trade.
It's true. Think about that, but it's true.
Consider this. An African nation wages war against another African nation.
Right.
The victorious king takes the survivors among the losers and sells them to traders, who then sell them to other governments or private buyers. Eventually, the slaves make their way to private buyers in any event, after they've filtered down through the different government levels. There's ample wrongdoing in these transactions, but the government is absolutely required for it to work. Without that monopoly of force, retribution from the families of the victims is a serious danger. When we think of the origin of slavery, it should be apparent that slavery started through government as the initial pusher. I like his point about retribution via the families of the victims. I mean, if it wasn't the government that was taking these people into slavery, then it would at most be, a cartel of bad guys. and in which case they could easily be dealt with, right? If it was just a group of people enslaving other people, they could be fought back against. If it's the government, then nobody thinks they can fight back against
the government.
Well,
what's to stop the cartel of bad guys from becoming the government? I don't know if he's...
I don't know. The government?
I mean, obviously, I believe that there should be a government for the very fact that it fills the void of I think there should be a really small government to avoid having bad guys come along and create a larger, more intrusive, despotic, dangerous regime.
Right. I understand what you're saying, and I don't think we need to have any government at all.
I know,
because of this, because it's governments that authorize slavery in the first place, as Mr. Hicks is pointing out, or Wicks, rather. War is the province of government, says Robert. What did governments do when they won wars? Initially, slaughter was almost undoubtedly the method for dealing with the vanquished. Mm-hmm. However, what if you tire of killing or have no place to bury all the bodies?
Well, or if you get a financial motivation not to kill somebody, you're
right.
going to take it.
Well,
if you can get $100 a prisoner, then you're going to, hey, $100, that's
exactly.
Great, I got 1,000 prisoners here, I'm going to make a few bucks here.
You have these people in your power, and they may be a future revolutionary force against you.
Mm-hmm.
So people always need labor, and these people would have been killed anyway, so why not just sell them, make a tidy little sum, and ship what would have been a problem someplace else? I'm sure that not all merchants bid on this offer, but evil actions don't require everyone to be a participant in order for them to become accepted. Certainly, the merchants involved can be blamed heavily for buying human beings, but once government steals people or property, it can always find someone to buy. Even if that someone is a business started by people in the government which committed the outrage in the first place, there will always be a willing buyer. For a current example of this fact, look no further than Walmart, which through the wonder of the free market is nonetheless all too happy to receive stolen property, which has been condemned by corrupt governments. In this sense,
I'm not sure about the stolen property they're talking about, but okay.
I'm guessing they mean stuff made by slaves, I suppose.
Okay.
In this sense, the African slave trade can be thought of as an early, dehumanizing, and insanely brutal form of eminent domain. Well, what of the slaves during the Middle Passage? I was listening to a Mises podcast by Joseph Salerno, which he discusses, among other things, how prices are set. He noted that government, for various political reasons, sets prices lower than they would be on a free market. Now, free market value for human labor is whatever the particular human who's laboring and the person buying his labor agree upon, employer and employee, coming to an agreement. There's no market for the human being himself who cannot morally be bought or sold. Governments, since they have the power to tax and often print money, offset costs among the entire population of the governed. As a result, the Africans were very inexpensive. What did this mean in practice? Well, for one, the slave traders were less careful with human beings than they were with even livestock that they'd bought on the free market. Again, because the government was selling off a human for $100 or whatever it was back then.
It's cheap.
And the cattle were going for more. They treated the humans like crap.
You made the point that the fact is, these people were captured in wars. They were warriors, so obviously they don't want them around because they might be problems in the future. It is not only expeditious to sell them to make some money, but it's expeditious to sell them to get them out of there.
Exactly, so they don't rise up
against
you. So
they have a double incentive to sell these things, so their prices are going to go down.
This was not simply a case of hatred for the black man, the result of them being priced lower than livestock, meaning they were harmed and treated like dirt.
No, they were originally sold by black men.
It was because of government. Now, as said before, slavery was simply brutal. I doubt if any of us can really appreciate just how brutal. But note the difference in deaths once the slaves became private property. Slave deaths on the plantations, while much higher than whites, was nonetheless far lower than those on the Middle Passage. Why? Well, the slaves had made the transition from a purely government operation to a partially private one. When you're pursuing profits, for instance, you have to be cost-effective. Even if slave owners didn't think of blacks as human beings, they did think of them as property.
Right.
And
something
a business,
valuable.
Yes, and a business doesn't destroy capital if it can help it. 1-800-259-9231. Talking about some of the other sides of the slavery story that maybe people, I don't think, are really too aware of. The fact that governments were heavily involved in the situation, and maybe if it weren't for governments, maybe the slavery situation wouldn't have been the same. Maybe it wouldn't have even existed. Is that possible? 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. And we're going to get back to the original email that brought us into this, which is somebody questioning the idea of a truly free market as to whether or not it would be possible. More on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Republicans took over Congress more than 10 years ago. Since then, the government has grown by $1 trillion. This spending explosion has happened in part because Congress doesn't read the huge bills they pass. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Our new proposal stops Congress from passing bills they haven't read. It's called the Read the Bills Act. The Read the Bills Act will slow Congress down, way down. It's easy for you to help make this bill the law of the land. You can learn more at DownsizeDC.org. That's DownsizeDC.org.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes, but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month, and you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
So, Janice, where are you and Jim going on vacation this summer?
Definitely somewhere with a beach, though who knows if our feet will even touch the sand.
That reminds me, Janice, have you figured out how to talk to Jim about his problem?
No, I want to, but men can be so sensitive.
Well, it's only going to get worse. Remember, I was going through the same thing with Dan. Then I found Mycocide NS.
What's Mycocide NS?
Mycocide NS kills the germs that can cause fungal infections. It worked great for Dan. He had the worst looking thick yellow toenails. Now his nails look clear and healthy.
Do I need a prescription?
No, you can get Mycocide NS antifungal treatment in the foot care aisle at any drugstore or major retailer.
And it really worked?
Yep, it worked on me too. I had some white discolorations on my toe. I just applied Mycocide NS daily. I didn't even have to remove my nail polish.
Sounds easy. I can start planning our beach getaway.
Yeah, Mycocide definitely gave us the confidence to bare our feet again.
Pick up Mycocide NS at drugstores and major retailers. Look for a free bonus gift in each box.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. Now available is the 2006 BioSolutions Plus. The BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, toll-free number 1-800-259-9231. It is the Tuesday edition, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Again, that's 800-259-9231. That's the number that allows you to bring up whatever's on your mind. You can also join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We've got live streams there. There's a broadband version of the show and a dial-up version, both of them totally free. freetalklive.com. Plus, Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project. It's your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. Again, that's freestateproject.org. So we're talking about slavery, and this was what was the reason why this was brought up is because someone emailed in saying that, well, if we had a free market, then it might just the free market brought us slavery back in the day. But he's wrong about that. As it turns out, according to Robert Wicks at LouRockwell.com, and so you know, Robert's a black man. That way it doesn't sound like we're just a bunch of white boys talking trash here. According to Robert, it was the government that actually instituted slavery. It was governments in Africa, Muslim governments in the Middle East as well. These governments, when they conquered other governments and other countries, they went in there and instead of slaughtering everyone, they sold them off at the lowest value to slave traders, and those slave traders then sold them to private people. So if it wasn't for the governments in the first place, it's possible the whole slavery situation would have turned out completely differently.
Well, you know, and I had said in the last segment, mistakenly, I should have said African, and I said black. Most of our slaves came from West African countries.
Okay.
That we have in this particular country, simply because the trip's shorter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that, you know, slaves went elsewhere and that kind of thing from different areas, but a lot of them came from people from north of the Sahara Desert, you know, the Muslims up there in the northern Africa area capturing sub-Saharan Africans and selling them. And then, of course, some sub-Saharan Africans capturing sub-Saharan Africans in Western Africa and sending them over, too.
So there's no doubt that everyone participating in that process was wrong, and it was horrible,
mm-hmm.
But it was enabled by the governments. Mr. Wicks continues. He says, finally, the slaves once here were kept in bondage through government. For most white people, there was no economic reason to support slavery. For wage earners, slaves lowered wages or eliminated whites from competing for certain jobs altogether.
Correct.
Planters, rather than pay fair market wages for field labor and household help, paid slaves in the form of subsistence. This is a major reason that Republicans...
Subsistence.
This is a major reason Republicans opposed the expansion of slavery to new territories in the years leading up to the Civil War. Slaves effectively took jobs from some whites and lowered wages for some others. The same force is now is among those driving the current anti-immigration movement. What was the federal government's role in slavery? Well, through the Fugitive Slave Act, the government made every American citizen one of two things: either a slave catcher or a criminal.
Yeah.
It required, the government now, required that citizens assist in the recovery of escaped slaves. It also denied those presumed slaves the right to contest this. So if you and I were living back then, Mark, as white boys, if we encountered an escaped slave and we helped him continue to escape, say we were part of the Underground Railroad or something like that.
Right.
If we helped him continue to escape, we were violating the law, and we could be thrown in prison for it. So, therefore, even if you wanted to help, you might have been too scared to do anything because of the government.
Right.
It was another...
Now, certainly some people said...
They did anyway.
We're not participating in, you know, the Underground Railroad.
Thank goodness.
And all that good stuff.
It was another government-granted license to kidnap innocent people, and both former slaves and free persons were enslaved as a result. Private businesses have no ability to force others to retrieve lost property except through the mechanism of government. Additionally, the cost of keeping slaves in bondage was paid for both by the slave owner himself and the non-slave-owning population, as both groups paid taxes and law enforcement helped to keep the slaves from escaping.
Right.
So even if you were morally opposed to slavery, and you might have told yourself, okay, well, I don't want to help them escape because I don't want to get caught because I'm scared of that, but I'm still morally opposed to it, you were still funding it through your tax dollars, just like those of us who are morally opposed to the Iraq War or any other war of any other initiated war like that. We're still supporting it through our tax dollars.
Right.
So we're constantly supporting injustice against others. Consider what's really required to take and hold slaves, says Mr. Wicks. You must allow him sufficient freedom so that he can actually be productive.
Some work. Right, he has to do some work. This is the problem with chain gangs, by the way. This is the reason that they don't like to do chain gangs particularly, and the politicians have... The prison guards don't like to do chain gangs, but the politicians make them. Because it seems like a good idea to the public to have the people, these convicts, mm-hmm. working, doing slave labor on the side of the road. Looks good, but it's... inefficient, and it's difficult to do.
Right, because you got to keep them shackled or something.
Right, you do. You have to, and I mean, you know, some guy falls in a ditch with some shackles on it. His family's not going to be happy.
Holding him in a cell 24 hours a day is a drain on your resources.
Right.
So you must give him no reasonable method of escape. You must get your neighbors to help you prevent his escape and be able to threaten severe punishment in the event of disobedience. Without the government, what is to prevent a slave from simply running away and never coming back?
Right.
Why would your neighbors who have no economic interest in your slaves, most of them not being slaveholders themselves, attempt to return a slave to you? The answer is government. Government forces people to obey laws, even those which are contrary to both the interest and moral codes of its subjects.
Well, I think that there's a good parallel to be drawn here. And what he says there isn't entirely so. If you think about it for just a minute, you see signs up all the time, lost cat, lost dog.
Yeah.
You know, Patches has gotten out of the house and, you know, there's a 17-pound gray tabby on the loose. And people put up signs, you know, call here, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Now, some people in, you know, 1840 could have very well considered a slave to be sort of like that cat. You know, perhaps
maybe
loved and cared for.
Reaching a bit.
I don't think you're reaching at all. I don't think that they thought
that
was
saying
a
that
horrible,
somebody
reprehensible thing to own humans,
okay,
is what I'm saying. I don't
but
think it's a horrible, reprehensible thing to own a cat.
At the same time, there's not a law out there mandating everyone to return Fluffy.
That's the point that I'm trying to make. Somebody out there may very well, and it happens all the time, return Fluffy to you. Now, this day and age is different because we have cars and we can post these signs farther and far and wide as opposed to just around the neighborhood. In the case of a slave, I mean, you have to walk or ride a horse to different places to post these things. A slave would just have to, you know, clear 100 miles inside of a day or two, and, you know, he's home free. I don't even
got it.
Maybe a couple few days. He would have to travel as quickly as he possibly could on foot without resting in order to avoid capture. Of course, he's black, and at that point, everybody who's black is owned. So that's a stigma in and of itself.
I want to go to the phones. Let's talk to Nick in New York. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Nick. Nick is gone. That's a darn shame. Well, anyway, as communications and literacy have improved, the worst outrages are less politically tenable. Chattel slavery is unworkable for any government that wants to remain in power for long, and governments have mostly turned to other means these days. Taxation, eminent domain, and various laws covering victimless crimes have been substituted for some of the outright barbarism in this country. So slavery is not as obvious today as it once was. And other countries have political prisoners. These laws are much easier to justify and accept, which allows the government to further enhance its own power through popular support. Yet they're still a type of slavery. They're the type which conscripts the labor rather than the person himself without cause. As we've pointed out so many times, if you're taxed 1%, you're 1% a slave. If you're taxed 50%, as we are in America, that makes you about 50% a slave. It's just that now we get to choose for whom we work, but we don't get to choose whether or not we get taxed. More's on the way. This is your show. You take control. It's Free Talk Live.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Hey, Bill, I'm buying lunch today, and check this out. I bought a new car.
Wow, John, I guess you took my advice and visited that website we were talking about over lunch last time we met. www.didyourobbillgates.com.
I did, and you were right. I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. And it's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my fifth week.
Whoa, that's awesome. John, your business will keep growing as mine has. In fact, people are joining from all over the world. It's incredible. Everyone should go to www.didyourobbillgates.com and learn how this program can help them become financially independent, too.
Thanks a million, Bill, for telling me about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Check, please.
I got this one, Bill.
Sure, John. Let's tell everyone about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Deal.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
When my son started having behavior problems, the Total Transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Do you need an instruction manual for your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance and backtalking. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, and it is your show. You can take control of the airwaves with the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The bulletin board system awaits you with over 120,000 posts for you to surf around through. There's over 1,200 people interacting there. All kinds of different topics, everything from serious issues to fun stuff. You'll find it all, bbs.freetalklive.com. Get you right to it. Again, that's bbs.freetalklive.com. So Robert Wicks at lewrockwell.com is exploring how it is that government was actually the enabler of slavery. We all know that slavery happened and that it was horrible and that it was just a total injustice against other human beings, but did we know that it was really the government's fault? Because as it turns out, it was. Government not only enabled the initial trade of the slaves, not just our government, not just American governments, but African governments and Middle Eastern governments as well. Not only did they enable the actual trade to go on, but once the slaves arrived in America, they continued to enable slavery to go on by, for instance, forcing non-slave owners to either help return escaped slaves or become criminals if they didn't help return escaped slaves. So the government was involved through and through, as a matter of fact.
You know, the reason that slavery stopped is because of the people, not because of the government.
Right.
It's the government in the sense that the government is the people, and every single time the government is the people, whether it's a dictator or whatever,
mm-hmm.
the government's still the people. They're still the largest mass, and they can do the most damage. But in this case, more and more people became enlightened and realized that the owning of people, which was a 1,000 years before this, was a relatively common practice.
Yeah.
If you had enough money, you could own somebody. It didn't matter what their color was. It just sort of, you know, then white people became, you know, more enlightened in Western Europe, what we call enlightenment here, whatever that term is good for.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a little while for them to realize, hey, wow, the rest of the world, probably they're humans too. And,
yeah.
you know, these ideas take time to change. And that's why libertarianism slowly changes. I believe it's going to slowly change
right.
America.
I was looking at a different article. I don't have it in front of me, but there was quotes from Abraham Lincoln. I mean, so many people hold him up as being the emancipator, the freer of the slaves, when in fact there was a variety of quotes from him that, to paraphrase, essentially said, I don't care about slaves. I don't care, you know, about what the laws about slaves are. He basically said that the only reason he was even talking about slavery because he thought it was a starting point for keeping the Union together. He just wanted to keep the Union together. That's all that man cared about. He did not care about slaves. Anyway, Robert Wicks, a few final thoughts here. He's talking about how slavery has shifted. It's no longer whips and chains and direct ownership. What it is now is the government enslaving everyone via their taxation policies, eminent domain, and anything else they force you to do. He points out that these types, he says that there's still a type of slavery, that the type that conscripts labor rather than the person himself without cause, and even does still conscript the person himself in the event of some transgression against the law or a national emergency, such as the case of the military draft. Or heck,
true,
even just the case of jury duty. That's a little mini slavery for you there. These types of conscription are still slavery, however, as they are affected by force. Certainly, they're not as outrageous as that which has come before. But any time an action must be justified by saying, well, at least it isn't as bad as so-and-so, then you know you're sliding down the slippery slope towards moral bankruptcy.
Well, you made a point about us being slaves now, a portion slave, and I don't think people... I think somebody could deny it until we take it from this point of view. And I like to use this example, and I've used it many times, but if I sent you out, Ian, every day to work, and then I took your whole paycheck, what would you be to me?
I'd be a slave.
Now, if I send you out every day to work, and I take half of your paycheck, and then I give you half of it to go spend on whatever it is you want to spend, what would you be then?
Well, can I just not give you my paycheck and say, no, no, I'm going to keep it all?
No, no, you can't.
Well, at what penalty?
I'm going to shoot you.
Okay, that makes me a slave.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not free to leave, then I'm a slave.
If you're not going to give me half your paycheck, which the government takes somewhere between 50 and 60% of your pay.
Governments at all levels, federal, state, and local.
Correct. And all different types of taxes.
Yeah.
Also the types of taxes that are hidden, corporate taxes, those kind of things. They take 50% of your wages, which means if you don't give it to them, they're going to come after you with guns to get it.
And if I don't surrender to them,
and if you don't surrender
to
them, yes, they will kill you.
These types of, he says, a lot of people apparently think libertarianism is simply, keep your hands off of my money. But it's deeper than that. Government is more than just some entity which takes money. Thieves do that. Government is the great enabler of moral outrages. When you think of government, think the organization which claims the right to enslave. 1-800-259-9231. We go to the phones, and Tom in London. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Tom. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I just phoned up to talk about the airports thing, but before I get onto that, I've got a little inscription, which I saw when I was in Massachusetts a couple of months ago. It's over the door of the City Hall in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and it says, this is printed up above the door. It says, God has given commandments unto men. From these commandments, men have framed laws by which to be governed. It is honorable and praiseworthy to faithfully serve the people by helping to administer the laws. If the laws are not enforced, the people are not well governed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just a bunch of words put together, and, it makes a society of laws sound good, but the problem is that people that want power are going to get into the government, because that's what it is. It's power.
It attracts them.
For instance, I like being on radio, and I like people listening to my voice. I love the sound of my own voice, so therefore, I'm in radio. That's what happens. So people that want power go to the government. People that want power, because power corrupts, have a tendency to get corrupted by it. So these are the people creating our laws, enforcing our laws, and
writing stupid sayings like that, worshipping the law and worshipping their power.
He's probably just some essayist.
With the airports thing, we've had all this security stuff over the last week or so. And
sure. Have you guys had the liquids crackdown like we had over here?
Well, we had the liquids crackdown on all flights going to the U.S.
Hmm.
And I think to most of the flights going out of London.
Okay.
But we also had a ban on all hand luggage.
All hand luggage. So can you bring nothing on a plane?
Yeah, you can bring absolutely nothing on the plane.
I've got some questions about that, if I could. Can you bring a camera?
No, you're not allowed to. You're only allowed to bring absolutely essential things. What they had was at the London airports, they would have plastic carrier bags, and when you went to check your things in, they'd say, take out anything you absolutely need, like medicines, passport, money, wallet, mm-hmm. etc., and put those into this clear bag.
Wow.
And then you can take those onto the plane, and then everything else you have to check in.
So the overhead luggage compartments are completely empty on these flights?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been on them, but I know various people who have been on them.
Presumably, from what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And, I mean, things like cameras and laptops and other things like that, people who travel a lot generally don't check them in because they get completely mangled.
Sure. I wouldn't want my laptop going through the baggage handlers. They could very easily just flip open the case and take my laptop. It's happened before.
And they chuck it. And they chuck the bags around a lot and so
sure.
on.
Sure.
And also they've done things like they've just put items in to the check-in without actually bagging them up.
Uh-huh.
So they've done things like they've put cell phones in. They just put them on the thing and just.
So you just wait for it to come in. They just chuck it into the airplane, and then they chuck it off, and they, you know, hopefully your cell phone will come out on the conveyor belt.
There's hundreds and hundreds of lost bags.
I'll bet.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
sure. People aren't prepared for that.
I'm trying to book up a flight to the U.S. for next month for a conference also in Boston. And I was going to book it the other week, and it's, you know, about 400 quid to get there. And the
wow.
flight which I wanted to take, which is the... BA direct flight.
Mm-hmm.
Gone up by £100 because
oh my gosh, prices.
Measures.
Yeah, more security means higher prices for everybody. Tom, let us know when you get through there. Let us know how your trip was and what things have changed since the last time you flew, which was earlier this year. So
well, the last time I flew, they wrecked some of my stuff. So
yeah, I expect it'll get worse. More on the way. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live. Thanks for the call, Tom. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Sears has the new air conditioning system you've been looking for. Keep cool this summer with a new Carrier or Kenmore system from a name you can trust. With unbeatable pricing, year-round maintenance and repair, plus our satisfaction guarantee, it's time you called Sears at 1-800-269-1400 for a free in-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. A new, more efficient cooling system can keep your family comfortable all summer long and may help you save money on high energy costs. You and your family can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you've come to expect for over 100 years. Call now at 1-800-269-1400. Offer ends August 26, 06. Subject to applicant credit worthiness. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. Licensee information available upon request. Energy efficiency may vary depending upon your home and climate. Keep cool with the new air conditioning system from Sears. Call now at 1-800-269-1400. That's 1-800-269-1400.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network. I have an urgent message for all of our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world, quote unquote. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble, red alert, and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 888-8-XANADU. And ask for George.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You can take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
As always, you can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. The Free Talk Live store is now open. For your shopping convenience, we've got Free Talk Live shirts and hats and other neat stuff that you should go and take a look at. It's store.freetalklive.com. You're currently in the midst of a pre-order phase. So if you place your order now, don't expect your products next week because they don't actually exist yet. What we're doing is we're spending the entire month of August in a pre-order phase. And then after August is done, we're going to go ahead and place orders for the products, get them in, fulfill the orders. And you'll probably have your order sometime in late September, early October, I would think. In order to sort of incentivize you to take advantage of this pre-order phase, we're giving you a discount. So if you go to store.freetalklive.com, you'll see the regular prices. But when you add the products to the cart, you'll see that the price is actually lower, to the tune of over 7%. So if you'd like to get that discount and help us kind of know what's in demand, because as we get these pre-orders in, we know a lot of people like the black, not a lot of people like the yellow, that sort of thing. So we're learning.
I think we're going to see that.
Yeah. Store.freetalklive.com is the place.
I mean, the common colors for T-shirts are white and black, and an uncommon one is yellow, and I think there's a reason for that.
Indeed. So we started the hour out with an email from Corey, and he was talking about slavery, which brought us off onto the side tangent and where we explained how slavery was actually a product of government, although Corey believes that it was government that saved us from slavery. As he puts it, the government is not completely innocent ever, but it does have some to do with the freedoms that we as black people have today. The only reason we were allowed to get into a white school was because the president sent the National Guard to physically escort four black students into a school.
Yes, absolutely true. Now it has occurred that black people and the people that support black people in being fairly treated have enough power that they can force the government to do something. Now, always, the government is force. It's guns. It's violence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes you can use the force, guns, and violence to do something quote-unquote good, that you see it. But the way I see it is that if a person doesn't want to let a black person in their home, they shouldn't have to. Now, if that also means if you shouldn't have to let a black person in your home, you shouldn't have to let them in your business. I think that you're a bad person for doing it. That's how I feel. But
you should have that freedom.
Your business. You should be able to do whatever you want with it. And if you go out of business because you're a hate-filled bigot,
Good.
But what he's talking about was...
Hope you lose your fortune.
What he's talking about is government schools here, Mark.
Right.
And now, I don't know this case too well, and maybe I'm wrong about this. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Mark, but
School Board of Topeka, Kansas.
Well, as I understand it, it was a state government, that had, you know, segregated the school, mm-hmm. and I thought it was Alabama or something like that, Arkansas. The governor would not allow black people to go into this school.
Right, I remember
and
that,
And then
too.
The National Guard was called in, and they forced them to allow them into the school. So it was governments competing with governments. If the schools had never been taken over by governments in the first place, if government had never taken that responsibility from the rest of us of actually having to decide where our children go to school, then all the schools at that time would have been private. That's the way that they should have been. So there could have been all-white private schools. And again, you and I would disagree with that, Mark. I would never want to see something like that. If I was going to be attending a school, I would want it to be a school where everyone was free to attend.
Oh, I absolutely. Why would I disagree with that? I would want my kids exposed to, you know, different peoples and different cultures.
Right. I was saying we would disagree with an all-white private school.
Oh, you and I would disagree.
Yeah.
Would disagree with someone who would have an all-white private school.
Right. But they would be free to have that. In which case, then it would be totally outrageous for the government to come in and force that all-white or all-black school to take someone of a different color.
Right.
Let them be the racist they want to be. Fine, you go ahead and you be racist. I'm just not going to talk to you.
The only time racism's really bad is when they get the government behind them.
Right.
That's it.
So in this case, if we had had private schools, and it wouldn't have been a situation at all in the first place. He goes on. He says that... How'd you get desks, a building, books, etc., all being controlled by the white man? I don't know. The worst part is the fact that even if a black guy would have started a school desk making service, no white people would have bought them, and black people wouldn't have the money.
Well, W.E.B. Du Bois, a great black activist, said that the only way that the blacks were ever going to attain fairness and equality was by doing business with whites. That business was the only way they were going to achieve equality.
I think that Corey believes that every white person was a racist back then, and that's just not the case at all. Listen, I'm a businessman first, before anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm someone who's buying desks for my school, and you as a black man come to me, and there's some white guy that comes to me with a desk, and your product as a black man is better, I don't care what color you are. I'm going to buy the best product at the best price.
That's true.
And I don't think that he's right to believe that all white people were racist. I don't think that was the case at all. There were white people standing behind Martin Luther King.
And you know, the whole bus segregation. We read an article here on the air that pointed out that it was government, it was laws that made it so that black people had to ride at the back of the bus and white people and had to give up their seats if white people wanted to sit.
The bus drivers did not want those.
They
laws.
Didn't want that because there were a lot of black people riding their buses
because
buses are cheaper than cars.
And they knew that the black
the
people could protest. They could protest by not riding at all.
Right.
So they were facing a loss of business. Once again, business coming before race. 800-259-9231. Let's talk to John in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, John.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I wanted to touch base on this institution of slavery issue. It's my understanding that the institution of slavery was beginning to break down in the United States, falling of its own immoral weight.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, that's why the government put the laws into place to say that we must, help return slaves even if we
right.
didn't like it.
That's the reason that the Fugitive Slave Act was enacted in 1850, about 15 years before the Civil War, because slavery was breaking down of its own accord,
now,
and the government needed to step in to keep it going.
What began to happen is the juries were not convicting their neighbors, and so around that time in the 1800s, judges started telling juries who up until then knew that they had a right to judge the law as well as the facts, which is why they would not convict their neighbors of these so-called crimes, and it started to spread, and so that the judges started to tell juries that they must follow the law as given to them, which
is
a lie,
right?
And people need to remember to always judge the law when you are on a jury.
We always wondered, John, why the judges had started changing what they were telling juries. When the judge gives those jury instructions these days, they never say that you have the right to judge the law itself.
They, in fact, lie to juries.
Yes, that's right.
They lie, and people need to remember, always judge the law. It is our responsibility to protect our neighbors from the government.
And you're saying that that started to protect the slave owners?
It began to protect the citizens on juries began to protect their neighbors, which is why the institution of slavery was breaking down, because the government could not get convictions on their stupid laws that said you were required to turn somebody in. So, in other words, if you helped a slave escape and they brought you before me, guess what? You're going home, too.
Right.
Because I will judge the law, and the law is immoral, and you can go home.
Great point, John. We really appreciate the call, as always, man.
Thanks.
800-259-9231. I didn't know that, Mark. I didn't realize it. We'd always wondered what the reason was why the judges had stopped giving juries the true jury instructions.
Well, you know, I'll bet it some judges did and some judges didn't. That's why it managed to make it all the way to Prohibition, and Prohibition basically got repealed for the same reason, that the same reason that slavery was breaking down. It's the same reason that Prohibition got repealed, because people wouldn't hold their neighbors to these standards. They didn't like them. They thought they were wrong.
They were showing the law the door in court.
And finally, Prohibition slammed the door shut on jury nullification.
Well, back to Corey's email. He says, that's how the free market works. The rich control everything. But sure, you could start your own business, insert whatever type here, but you just get crushed out of the water. That's just not true. It doesn't matter if, like, for instance, back with Standard Oil, I believe they owned over 90% of the market share in the oil business that didn't prevent the startups from jumping into the game and competing on the basis of customer service. They might not have been able to offer the product at the cheapest price, but they certainly could offer better service.
Right.
To suggest that just because someone is rich...
Well, Standard Oil only had 90% for 8 years.
Okay, but to suggest... And then it shifted because of competition.
In the same way that Walmart will not be the behemoth in retail dollars in 20 years that it is now.
Probably not. I just think he's just wrong about this. Just because you're rich doesn't mean that you're a better business person. I mean, it generally means that you've been good at business, but a lot of rich people inherit their wealth and they spend it like crazy.
Well, business changes. The market is constantly in flow. It's in change. It's in flux.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. That's why books like Who Moved My Cheese are so popular, because people have to change the way they do business constantly.
And if you don't change, you're going to suffer and you're going to die.
You are.
To suggest that just because you're rich means that you'll crush the competition is a little ignorant. More on the way. 800-259-9231. Hour number two is coming up. And since Tom called in about Great Britain, we've got a story that's in relation to that. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Looking for profits? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you...